never rests.
What is up, everybody? Sunday night, it's the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rose, Rusty Mansell. We're from Dogs HQ. We're going to hear from Prize Picks. Going to hear from My Perfect Franchise tonight. But we're also going to talk about Kirby hitting the recruiting trail hard, Rusty. Florida, Nashville, five-star quarterbacks. Not just one. He saw two. And get to Georgia kind of, listen, a little five-star talk, a little five-star buzz for Georgia already in 2025. But hey, it's early and it's a different game. We cover a different sport now in the off season, so we're making adjustments too in mock draft season. I got a whole mock draft roundup in front of me. Going to post it at Dogs HQ in the morning. Let's see, doing a little slick counting here. 9 mock drafts. Going to give you a little bit of a rundown of kind of where Georgia players are setting up. But Rusty, what's going on, man? What's going on with you?
I'm watching the Georgia Bulldogs audition tape, I guess, for NFL today. I mean, everywhere I turn around, it's either James Cook touchdown, Nolan Smith sack, Jalen Carter knocking dudes out. I mean, Jordan Davis had a sack. Keely Ringo's making plays on special teams. I mean, it's kind of tells you, man, how special a group Georgia has had, what they've, you know, what they keep bringing in. I mean, it is just it's really crazy what Kirby's done over the last 6-7 years. Obviously, those 21 and 22 teams, very, very special national championships, but you see them dominating in the NFL, and, you know, I think every Georgia Bulldog fan's excited about that. You're on mute.
No more days without an accident.
Come on, man. We had it, dude.
No more days without an accident. We gotta get up there on the board. Slide factory work right here. I do it all the time on mine and Roos's radio show. And on there, we can see each other. And, man, you should see the panic he goes into when I'm on mute, like thinking I can't see him.
Get the dead air. But,
James Cook surprised the heck out of me, man. Like, he the way James Cook has turned into and the funny thing is when he first came to Georgia, I was like, hey, Dalvin wasn't a big 210-pound back when he came into college either. Like, I still think Cook can develop into an every-down back. Mm-hmm. And then he couldn't stay healthy as a freshman. And then it was nicked and bruised and bumped and bruised as a sophomore. And you're like, golly, here it goes. Then as a junior, I still think he had a better year, but he got nicked up. And, man, it just came together for him as a senior and got him rolling. And now, I mean, 20 touchdowns, I believe, in 19 games this year. It's unbelievable.
He's playing with an alpha quarterback too. I mean, he couldn't be in a better spot for him. They've invested, you know, in that offensive line up there and drafted guys. I'm thinking, you know, selfishly, where would Ladd McConkey be if the Bills, because the Bills were really close to taking him. They took Keon Coleman, I think, 2 picks in front of Ladd McConkey. Where would they be, or 3 picks in front of Ladd McConkey, but where would this team be tonight facing the Chiefs with Ladd McConkey and the year he had? And you think Josh Allen would love to have Ladd McConkey? And that's not a knock on Keon Coleman, because he's a dude too. But, you know, you want to go numbers wise and production this year, I think, you know, Ladd McConkey had a really good year. But you look at those guys. I think James Cook, for me, it's hard to say this sometimes and kind of have a definition behind it. I think James Cook was more built for the NFL. I think Trevor Etienne's going to be built for the NFL if he stays healthy. I think he's more of a slashing, catch the ball out of the backfield type guy. You know what I mean? He's not going to take 1,000 licks. James Cook's gotten a lot better running between the tackles, but he's not a Derrick Henry. He's just going to pound you 25 carries. He kills you in a freaking red zone. He's a mismatch in the passing game, those types of things. And I think Monken used that late with him and when he got healthy. But James Cook, you know, I mean, to me, he's such a great fit for the NFL.
Sorry, I was actually – my computer froze up on me there for a second. I was actually not muted that time. So the talent that they lost off that team is obviously, you know, big, and they did a pretty good job replacing it. They had some guys stuck around. They really couldn't keep them healthy and couldn't couldn't get the job done in that year three. It kind of fell off a little bit more this year, especially with some of the injuries and some of the guys they lost. It was a much different team once you knew – your two best X receivers were kind of out, and then Georgia kind of struggled throughout the year. And listen, that's why Kirby Smart is hitting that recruiting trail wide open. And Rusty, he was in Nashville later on this week after being in South Florida earlier in the week, where he saw Dia Bell down at Heritage High School, Sony Michelle connection there. Georgia's recruited that school well over the years, got Tyson Campbell out of there, got Isaiah McKenzie out of there. I believe they also got Marshall Morgan.
Yeah. Nope. South Florida. Yep.
More than one down there. So yeah. They recruited that school well. They've had a lot of success down there. But obviously, the guy we're really keeping an eye on, and our man Steve Wiltfong came out with a report this week, didn't say, hey, you know, Georgia's my pick for Jerry Curtis. But in lingo of recruiting terms, about as strong as you can get these days, is he likes where Georgia's at right now for him. And the relationships are playing a pretty big role there. It seemed like, Rusty, when Jerry Curtis decommitted, that this was going to kind of be a, all right, well, move on, find another quarterback. What do you think about the chances of reeling them back in? Certainly shows us that they want to, because Kirby's there.
Well, I, you know, nobody wants to hear that part. But if you remember the night he decommitted, I said, look, guys, he is going to open this thing up. He's going to take visits. But there is a very strong relationship with Mike Bobo. And I tell you kind of what helped Mike Bobo on this. If you remember, same class. And, you know, I mean, you know, we'll see what the right answer was. But Mike Bobo went all in on Jerry Curtis. And Jerry Curtis basically asked Georgia, can I commit? I mean, is this a committable offer? And they said, anytime you want to. And he committed. He took the spot. And then, you know, a month later, Julian Lewis reclassifies. So there was some stuff there that probably, if Georgia lands them, that decision on Mike Bobo to take Jerry Curtis to go all in on him, and that's what you have to do, man. You got to find one and go with it. And lo and behold, Mike Bobo goes in on a guy who wasn't at the time. Now, not even close. He's going to wind up being the number one or number. He's going to wind up being the number one or the number two quarterback in this class wherever he goes. You know, you and I were in Nashville last week, and those people in Nashville who really don't have a dog in the fight, you know, I ask them straight up. I ask some guys at dinner. I said, look, you guys are up here. What's this guy? This guy as good as I think he is? Because I've only seen him in one practice, but I've seen enough quarterbacks to know the ball comes out of his hand like I've never seen. I mean, this guy's some juice on it. And everybody there is like, look, man, this kid's the real deal. He's wired right. You know, I think the knock is he plays some smaller competition. But here's the difference in 10 or 12 years ago, Jake. We will get to see him in so many camp settings. We'll get to see him throw against some top players. You know, he's not going to shy away from those types of things. We're going to get a chance to see him at Elite 11, all those different things. So I think Jerry Curtis, you know, people automatically assume the day he decommitted, and I talked to someone very much in his circle, the night he decommitted, that person texted me and said, Georgia's going to be in this thing all the way to the end. And their relationship with Mike Bobo is going to be key. Mike Bobo was there the week before last. Then he was there again last week. And then Kirby Smart came up and visited with him as a top target. So George is all, you know, he's not the only quarterback. Now, let me make that clear. He is not the only 2026. You've already mentioned Dia Bell and some of these other guys. He's not the only one, but I think he's the one they've been into the longest. And credit Georgia for working him out and then going, oh my goodness, you know, because you guys have had Matt Godwin on here many a times. And he said the minute they worked out Ryan Puglisi, that, you know, the Georgia guys, it's ironic, Mike Bobo, Buster Faulkner, Todd Monken, all those guys were there for that workout, and everybody was like, holy smokes, who is this kid? So, you know, you look at those and you say, what kind of decisions you make at quarterback, and you hope you make the right ones, but Georgia has been in on Jerry Curtis for a long, long time already.
Yeah, and, you know, the verbiage gets a little weird here because you say all in, and you say all in, and it's like, yeah, that's their top target. and they're not going to pull any punches, and they are they're deep into that recruitment, and there's a lot of time in there. They're pot committed, all these sorts of things. Yep. It doesn't mean that it's Jared Curtis or bust.
Correct.
Like you said, I mean, it's you know, that they extended an offer to a Houston commit early this week. I mean, Georgia's definitely still evaluating quarterbacks. And listen, if Jared Curtis says, let's say he comes on campus June 13th and he says, I am done. This is it. I'm done. They're probably still, though they have another week of camp. So they'll have at least one more camp at the end of July, but they'll have like another week of camps.
I think this is the first year, Jake, that July is dead.
Okay. Well, that'd be nice.
That last week, which was a waste. That last week was a waste. Coaches hated it. High school players hate it. So you look at the month of June, and not only are those OVs going to be big, those camps will be big.
Yeah.
As far as that, but the
point I was getting to was he commits on June the 13th and they've got another week of camps and they've got five more quarterbacks set to come in and throw. They're not going to tell those quarterbacks if they're 2026 or not to come throw. They're still going to come throw for them. They're still probably going to talk to them and recruit them, but their plan is to take one. And if they could get their pick, that one is Jared Curtis.
And sometimes you look at like Ryan Puglisi. I mean, he committed to Georgia with Dylan Raiola.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he knew that whole deal there and knew they were, you know, so there's sometimes it doesn't matter. You kind of like a kid like that. It's, you know, so and I'm not saying it's the only one. You're right. You got to be real careful because they are recruiting a lot of quarterbacks and Mike Bobo has been the guy going to watch quarterbacks. You know, we talked about on the board, even though it was a 2027, the young man, Kareem Hughley out of Gainesville, they went and watched him throw this week. I mean, like there's – man. Yeah, I'm telling you.
I know you do. Oh, man. I watched when you and BA called that Alpharetta game. Was that
Milton game?
When y'all called that Milton game, he had a touchdown run in that game where he kind of turned on the Jets. And I can tell, by the way, it's funny. We've worked together and I've heard you talking long enough that I can tell by the sound of your voice and the way you were talking about him that you really liked that kid.
And I didn't know what to expect. And, you know, we talked about this as well, too, about. Last week or 2 weeks ago, he was at Georgia, and I was like, man, I hope this kid doesn't weigh 170. I was like, I hope he don't weigh 175. And, you know, I talked to some people over there. He was like 191, 192. And as a 2027 guy, I mean, sign me up because talking about accurate dual threat, you know, he's playing at Gainesville and a high profile offense. I mean, he's having to make decisions, but he played the best team in the state of Georgia this year against Milton. And I guarantee you, if you ask Milton, who gave them the most fits? I would be willing to bet. I've never asked him. I bet you that he will at least be in the discussion because
he's on the list.
He had a great game against them.
I watched them a lot.
He'll hurt you with his legs, man.
I watched them a lot this year, and he is one of the few guys that I was like, he belongs. Like, he's one of those guys. Like, full fledged without the support around him. And he had some good players around him too, but I didn't know from watching him on TV, Rusty. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about Kareem Hughley, the kid, the quarterback at Gainesville, 2027 kid.
Yep.
I thought he was like a 6'2", 6'1" kid. He's 5'10", 5'11", right?
Yeah. He's not a big guy, but I can tell you this. I've stood side by side with Bryce Young. And he's taller than Bryce Young. And my measuring stick on, if you're taller than Bryce Young, you can freaking play. And Bryce Young, I was very interested in him going to college. Like, how is this dude going to do it? And he winds up being the number one pick. And, you know, he had a great second half of his
throws of the football I've ever seen.
Great throw. Can see it. You know what I mean? But I have no question. I think I was told he was 5'11" and a half, 190 as a sophomore. He's good. Like, he's good right now, but he'll only get bigger. So, you know, back to the point, Georgia's recruiting a lot of different backs and a lot of different quarterbacks. And they're going to see some this week, too, now. So that's not a – and I'm about to make notes on Kirby and where he's going tomorrow, and that's going to surprise some people, too. This is the last week, really and truthfully, that Kirby Smart can be on the road for the 2026 class because he cannot be on the road in May. And then he does not do in-home visits anymore during season because of the signing period so quick now. The signing period is a week of the SEC championship. So they didn't do any in-homes. Those are over with basically for everybody. I think Kirby Smart went to see CJ Wiley play this year, one game on an off week.
Yeah.
And the second off week, I can't remember who he saw. So he'll see some kids, but he's not like out visiting in their schools and those types of things.
I think he might. Oh,
he went to see the kid that went to Tennessee, the linebacker from Eastside.
Did
at Cedar Shoals. Remember that?
He went down to Savannah Christian at some point too. Maybe he went down there on a Thursday of the bye week or something.
I can't remember, but I'm not sure.
Thursday night, I want to say, and then he went down there for a game on a third. Maybe it may have been Trey Scott. I can't remember, but I thought we had some big news on somebody vision Elijah Griffin at one point as well. And obviously they had LaDainian Guyton at the time, who's now at Benedictine and all of that. So, all right, Rusty, prize picks, man. Prize picks, promo code DOGS. You get $50 on your first deposit and play of $5 or more. $50, promo code DOGS. Go check it out over at Prize Picks. And if you're wondering what Prize Picks are, they're daily fantasy. Skills-based. If you know ball, if you can read a box score, if you can spot trends, or if you got gut feelings, you can win money with Prize Picks. Go in there, make a wager. Pick three, pick four, pick five. Pick the flex play where you only have to hit like two out of three or three out of four. Or pick the power play where you hit three out of three. The power play pays out more. And, Rusty, our prediction, we're going the second half of this AFC Championship game. You know we've got to put James Cook in here.
Yes.
Second half, over 30.5 rushing yards. So that's where I've got him on the over. And then I've got Patrick Mahomes. I'm going keeping it on the ground here with these first two. I think Patrick Mahomes, with the NFL rules and stats not counting against you, sacks not counting against you, 14.5 rushing yards for Pat Mahomes. I like him to do that probably on one carry. And then I'm betting against Rusty, Travis Kelce. This is a bad bet because I think he's only got one catch in the first half.
He just dropped one too.
But I've got him in the second half going for under 34.5 rushing yards. If all three of those picks hit, Rusty, I got 50 wagered. I'll win $250. Let's submit that lineup right now.
That's it.
That's how Prize Picks works. And if you want to go have some fun, Palmer and I, Rusty and I, we've done this all year long. It's been a lot of fun. I've been engaged in games in ways I haven't. That's what fantasy football does for you. And this is daily fantasy. NBA, NHL, you can do third period NHL lines, Rusty. Anything you want, go get it.
Ooh, you got a problem there.
Yeah, you got talk about third period NHL lines. if we're doing regular season, okay. If you're doing like third period NHL preseason, we got some stuff to work on. But yeah, so that was Prize Picks. And listen, Rusty, the dogs are making a little bit of five-star noise in this 2025 class. And I want to start with this, Rusty. Steve Wiltfong put up an update for us today over at Dogs HQ, and it said that Georgia has locked in an official visit with Emmanuel Iheanacho, one of the top out of Baltimore. They're in it for Jackson Cantwell. They're in it for the Scruggs kid. I can't remember his last name.
Yep.
Listen, they've got some fish on the line here in this or got some fish in the water here that they know they can get to here in this 2026 class on the offensive line. Some five-star love there. The top two players in the country in the on-three industry ranking, Rusty, are both offensive tackles, and Georgia's near the top for both.
Yes, and we've had enough O-line discussion today on the dog walk, and I'm sure that's not going to stop. But, you know, here's the thing. You got to win some battles out of state, and Georgia, I think, recognized that again early, and they've been on those guys. Jackson Cantwell has been to Georgia a lot of times. It'd be interesting this week when we get this this junior day visit set up for next weekend. I think Georgia's going to have a strong group of players in town next weekend. And what's important for that is the dead period's in February. So Georgia's trying to get a last key unofficial visit with those guys this weekend, and we'll see who they get in town. We'll be all over it.
And that's possible with Iheanacho, you know, the big 6'7", 350-pound tackle out of Baltimore. Georgia, and I believe it's Georgia and Texas, or Georgia and another program are kind of vying for that last visit before the dead period. And he could be one of those guys that gets into town next week. I'm excited to cover that one, Rusty, because it seems like it's kind of the one before things calm down. We'll get a little bit of breathing room in February, get to cover the Hoop Dogs a little bit. And then March will be right back to spring practice and stuff. So, but, as far as, there's the offensive line there, Rusty. What's another position? If you're looking at another position in this class that seems to be kind of heavy on talent, because I've got one in mind, especially out of state, What would that be? Where would you kind of look in at a position that really intrigues you in this class? I've got one in mind out of state.
I think in-state wide receivers getting deeper and deeper. And, yep. and James Coley's, you know, they're starting to offer guys. And that's good news for Georgia, I think, because, you know, you want to follow this 2025 group with another strong class. And it helps you, man. I don't care what you think. It helps you in-state to recruit these kids. A lot of these kids are, you know, grew up Georgia Bulldog fans, and that helps. Don't think it doesn't. So, again, this evaluation is getting out front of these guys. Here's the thing, too. I talked with someone in recruiting this week, and he said, Rusty, these staffs around the country have went 2025, try to finish 2025 because it happened so quick. Then they went straight into a month of portal. So, really, they've only had a chance to get into these 2026s deep the last, like, 2 weeks. And that's why you're seeing offers all over the country, and including from Georgia. Somebody told me the other day, so I've never seen Georgia have this many offers in the last 2 weeks. And I said, that's what's going on. They haven't had time to, you know, look at these guys. So they're seeing them for the first time. And like, we should offer this guy. Yeah, we need to offer this guy.
You got Junior Fields on a lot of these guys. The guys that they knew they loved going into this year, that Junior Fields come out and they're like, all right, well, yeah, that's an offer right there.
You're seeing a lot of these guys around, not just Georgia. You're seeing all these guys get offers from all over the place. And, you know, Brady Marchese, the wide receiver at Calhoun, I mean, Cartersville, we've talked about him, and he's picked up 7 or 8, 9, you know, SEC, ACC offers in the past week. You look at just kids all over the place that are getting offers and in that 2026 class in state. You know, you start talking about the Devin Carters and you know, all these guys that are the high profile that everybody knew about, but now they're starting to show some depth and my guy at Carrollton, Brian Mosley, is one that kind of heated up pretty quickly. And it wasn't because of people didn't know about him. I just got a better look at him and got into tape. And next thing you know, this guy's everywhere. Aaron Gregory's the kid many think's the top 2 or 3 player in the state of Georgia, wide receiver at Douglas County. He's already committed to Texas A&M. That's not over. Georgia's heavily involved in there. So there's some depth, man, in state 2026 wide receiver. That's good news for Georgia.
I've been thinking about running back a lot. You know, Jeremy put up a really cool running back board piece for us. I love Carson Baker, the kid over at Langston Hughes. He really impressed me in the playoffs. He's kind of that long, upright runner, real shifty kid, tough to tackle. Savion Hyder out of Virginia. You know, I don't know that there's a better back in the country. You know, I like the kid out in Texas that Georgia went and saw here recently that I can't remember his name. God, there's so many names in this class.
That was Javon.
Somebody popped up on us here recently. Georgia's got a lot of early targets here at running back. And, you know, Derek Cooper, the kid out of Florida that was committed to Georgia for 72 hours and then they decided to change their minds. Jay Lamar is an in-state kid from down in Moultrie. I mean, that's a guy that grew up a big Georgia fan. I mean, it really seems like, you know, Javion Osborne is the kid from Texas.
Javion Osborne.
I mean, 2 in-state kids, a few out-of-state kids, Jonas Walton. I mean, Georgia has some studs on the line there at the running back position. And I'm not saying he's going to be Nick Chubb. I don't think he's anywhere near similar to Nick Chubb as a player. But Jay Lamar's recruitment is starting to remind me a little bit of that. Chubb was up there in Cedartown putting up big numbers. Jay Lamar's playing down at Colquitt, and obviously we know what kind of competition he plays down there.
Yeah.
But it was like with Chubb, you knew about him longer than everybody else did because of the proximity thing.
Yeah.
But for me, he really picked up kind of that second half of his junior year. You started seeing clips here and there, and people were talking. And then it was this was the offseason. Chubb went to Rising Seniors.
That changed him. Yep.
Went to Nike. And that's when J.C. Sherbert made the call to Rusty. He's like, Nick Chubb's a 5-star, hung up the phone. So, you know, that's where it rises. And I wonder if Jay Lamar is not going to kind of do something like that, just Peach State back kind of emerging at this point in the process.
Yeah, you got to kind of, you know, it's the way it is process too. You got to be able to catch the football, show that in drills. You got to be able to back it up with some times. And some of these camps you get into, some of these big camps are coming up. So, you know, very well could see that. See that type of, trajectory for him. But, you know, that is a good point. He's picking up. And there's several more in the state of Georgia, I think, they're kind of flying under the radar that I'm interested to see if Georgia offers a kid named Will Rejecki out of Sequoia. He's picked up five or six offers, and this is a guy that's he's a lifelong Georgia Bulldog fan. See how high he gets up, but he had a great year. Sequoia beat Gainesville. I think he had five touchdowns in that game. The next week, I think he comes back and has four touchdowns. So there's a lot of kids still on the board at running back, and we'll see how it unfolds.
I didn't even – it's funny. I went to camp. We went to lineman camp at Georgia back in, you know, the 90s with a kid from Sequoia, and I hadn't heard about it since until I saw them making a little bit of a run in the playoffs.
They had a really good run. Beat Gainesville. Yeah. Mark Bowman reclassifies. I think that's news.
Yes. Yeah, you know. Baby Brock, what they call him, wears number 19. Obviously kind of idolizes Brock Bowers there, and Georgia's going to be tough to beat for any tight end for sure.
Well, and I, you know me, and I'm real careful on about comparing people because it puts, you know, different expectations. But I'll tell you this, I think Mark Bowman's the number one tight end in America in 26 or 27. And now he's going to be a 2026. He started on one of the best teams in America as a freshman. He played with Nate Frazier out in California. So, I think this kid's special, and everybody gets, you know, we had a couple people say that I can't believe that's not going to help us. It doesn't matter if he's in 2026 or 2027, he's got a spot at Georgia, and Georgia will take him at any time. I can be clear with that. And I'll tell you, he's special. Now, do I want to put the Brock Bowers on him? I don't want to do that, but it's hard not to look at him wearing 19, tight end from California, and not think, man, this kid's different. And I hope I get to see him in person in spring. But him coming to 26 does not hurt Georgia at all, because he's been a priority for them. And Todd Hartley, credit to him, he's had him on campus from California already three or four times. He's already worked him out. He's had his family at games. They'll be out in California, I think, this week. So there's big boy decisions at tight end, and that's just the way it is for Todd Hartley. He is going after the best, and he's trying to decide who he's going to take and who he's going to get. But Mark Bowman's got a spot at any time at Georgia.
Hey, I got some sky miles. I may have to get on out
there. Go out there and check him out.
See what's going on. If it wasn't for the fires, I'd probably already be out there. You know, I'm pretty confident, Rusty, that if Mark Bowman had another twist in his recruitment and said, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to be a 2025 guy, I think they'd figure out a room, way to add him in June. Yeah,
they would figure that one out, I guarantee you. But, you know, it's hard to jump two classes academically, but it's not happening.
Didn't Austin Simmons do that? Didn't he jump two classes?
Somebody did. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think he either reclassified twice or jumped two classes.
Yeah, I think he did. That was nuts. I forgot about that. All right.
Andy Ludeke at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Are you a displaced corporate executive, or are you looking for a way to take your life and your career in your own hands? Well, if you are, then our man Andy Ludeke over at MyPerfectFranchise.net is your guy. Listen, everybody has their own kind of journey through life, and sometimes you want to take your future and your present and everything else, you want to put it in your own hands. Andy can help you through that. He has a thorough consultation and evaluation process by which he can walk you through the steps on how to become a franchisee or how to become a business owner and how to launch, you know, step out on your own. We've had some great success stories, and Andy wants to help you out. He's a big-time college sports fan. He's a big-time sports fan in general, and we appreciate him. And like I said, man, we've got some people that have hooked up with Andy and have some great stories to tell. I'll be linking up with Andy again later on this week to discuss even more. It's the first time we've had a chance to check in since the last time he told me of some of the guys or some of the people that had kind of reached out to him from our shows. Go check him out, MyPerfectFranchise.net, and go do something special, man. Go do something big. Mock draft season, Rusty, talking about doing something big. I got a whole rundown here of nine different mock drafts. All of them but three, have Georgia with a top 10 pick. Mel Kiper has Georgia with three picks inside the top 13. And two of these mock drafts have two different players starting their career in Atlanta with the Falcons. Chris Trapasso of CBS has Jalen Walker going 15 to Atlanta, and Danny Kelly. No, I'm sorry. That's not Danny Kelly. That is Yahoo Sports has Mykel Williams going to the Falcons at 15. So we know those two things probably aren't going to happen.
I need Jalen Walker in Atlanta. I'm just telling you. I mean, he fits a lot of the needs. That's what I love that kid, and I think he can play edge. I think he can play. I think it's Hassan Reddick, man. I'm just telling you, that's who I think it is. And you know, the biggest advantage to him, I think, is he can play inside backers. Well, I think he is going to play primarily edge in the NFL, but he can play linebacker too, which is such a bonus. But Jalen Walker is going to blow the socks off of NFL teams. I mean, they're going to blow the socks off of NFL teams in his interview. I mean, this guy is just different. And then the more they dig into him, his dad's a college coach. I mean, he's going to be impressive. And that worries me, to be honest with you, because I'm like, there's no damn way he's going to make it to 15. There's just no way he's going to make it to 15. And God, the Falcons would solve so many things. Draft a freaking Georgia player and dadgum get us a damn edge. You know what I mean? We need an edge so bad in Atlanta. It's crazy. So I would take Mykel. I do not see Mykel. And the reason I don't see Mykel getting that far is how big he is. And Jake, you've said this before. There's only so many humans that are 6'5", 260. That the college coaches tell me all the time, that's the hardest position to find. The 6'5", 260, you know, defensive end, five techs, guys that can stand up and play a little bit on the edge. Those are the hardest guys to find. So I just don't see him getting to 15, but maybe somehow if we get freaking lucky once, Jalen Walker will end up at 15 for the Falcons.
Yeah, I like I don't think Mykel Williams makes it that long either. I think he's going to impress some people with length and things of that nature. I do like him as a guy who plays a long time in the NFL, though. Maybe even if he's not a superstar, I think he hangs on and just plays. You know, I don't think he's going to be a 300-pounder like Cam Hayward, but, you know, Cam Hayward's played for a very, very long time, effective football player without really being a – what's that?
Stayed healthy.
Yeah, stayed healthy. Without really ever being like a 16-sack guy or even a 13-sack guy, he just kind of was a real solid football player. And NFL loves those guys, and I think Mykel's career path kind of has that. Or he has the ceiling to kind of put up some big numbers. Real old-school defensive end, like the old guys you used to see, like your Bruce Smiths and your Michael Strahans and stuff, like those guys that put their hand on the ground, play all three downs. Mykel's got that. And all of them have three Georgia players in the first round. Mykel, Jalen Walker, and then Malachi
Starks.
Mm-hmm. He's pretty consensus, kind of the later first round guy. So not going to surprise you if he kind of slips in and becomes a top 50 pick instead of a first rounder. But looks like Georgia's ceiling's kind of three first round picks. Any parting shots? Russ, Georgia basketball's on a little bit of a losing streak. If we're going to kind of wrap the show up, four games in a row, tough losses, tough showing at Florida. We got three out of the next four at home and need to get all three of those.
They got to get all three. I mean, it's just they're going to Alabama next week, and that's the odds are very slim next Saturday. But they've got South Carolina at home Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
LSU and Mississippi State at home.
You have to have South Carolina Tuesday. I mean, there's no other question. Like, if you got bigger ambitions, you got to show some fight, number one, and then you got to get that win.
Right now, Georgia is 2-5 in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing this show in 2 weeks, and Georgia is 5-6 in the SEC.
They're in good shape.
And this is – then it's very, very good. Georgia's still going to have a lot of – they got a lot of, you know, work left on this, because they got another stretch of five straight games where they got to play teams that are ranked currently in the top 25. But
that SEC tournament in Nashville is going to be insane. It's going to be insane.
The league's incredible. We'll have it all covered for you at Dogs HQ. NFL playoffs going on right now, about to be halftime in Buffalo. Go get your score update from them. I ain't trying to step on any toes. But we'll be back later on. Y'all take it easy.